Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. It is 6 a.m. and what better way to start off the day than with the Lord in His Word and asking the Holy Spirit to partner with us to bring revelation so that we are empowered to go out into this day to glorify the Lord, to ultimately represent His character well, and to be a blessing to this fallen world. So I'm excited to be here with you all, especially on this brisk morning. I had to run out to the car to grab my glasses, and I was like, ooh, it's chilly. And I find it interesting, if this were spring, this would feel like a heat wave, but because it's the fall, it's chilly. But the cool thing is, no matter what season we're in, how we're feeling, it doesn't matter. The Lord is with us, and we're going to see that powerfully displayed in today's psalm. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we will be asking the Lord to bring revelation to each and every one of us. It will be different for each and every one of us because God knows us personally. He knows exactly where we are in this journey of sanctification, of righteousness, of His perfect will for each one of us. So I want to pray for an individual revelation for each one of us from Psalm 42. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Good morning, Lord. We just pause before we dive into Psalm 42, a gift from You, Lord, to encourage us, to empower us, to fill us up with You, Lord. We're excited and we're expectant. This is a new day, and Your word says that Your mercies are new every morning. And we know that part of that mercies new every morning is new revelation. So we just ask, Lord, that You would open our minds, our ears, our hearts, our lives to the revelation that You have for each one of us. This is a pretty packed psalm, Lord, in a short amount of time. So would You just give each person on this call and that listens to it in the future a gift from You, a rhema, a word that would guide us to live the life that You have for us, life to the fullest, and to ultimately glorify You. We love You, Lord, and we're so excited to dive into Your word this morning. Thank You for that gift, and we pray all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, we are reading once again from Psalm 42, and I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is Your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are You downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, Therefore, I will remember you. From the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God for this powerful message to observe, consider, contemplate, and ultimately to seek the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient and to apply it to our lives. Psalm 42 begins book number two of the Psalms. Psalms is a book of songs and prayers, and it's divided into five different books that relate to the five books of Moses or the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. A note in my Life Application Bible shares about this second book of Psalms. This collection of Psalms, mainly written by David and the sons of Korah, is similar to the book of Exodus. Just as Exodus describes the nation of Israel, many of these Psalms describe a nation as ruined and then recovered. Praise be to God. As God rescued the nation of Israel, he also rescues us. We do not have to work out solutions first, but we can go to God with our problems and ask him to help. The author of Psalm 42 is believed to have been the sons of Korah, and boy, did they know about rescue. Who was Korah? We learn in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, that Korah was a disobedient baddie who gathered 250 people to lead a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. To summarize quickly, Moses says, let's seek the Lord, and he will choose who is the leader that he wants. They gathered together, and the Lord told Moses to step aside. And in verse 31, we learn and read, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave. Pastor Gary Hamrick shares, apparently, Korah had sons that were too young to be part of that judgment moment, or he had sons that escaped that moment because they knew what was going to happen. Whatever the case, the sons of Korah remained faithful, and generations later were credited with writing 11 Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were now a group of Levites appointed by King David to be worship leaders and assigned by God to be gatekeepers in his tabernacle. What a story of redemption for these sons of Korah. Whatever type of family you have come from, Psalm 42 is for you and for me, and God's redemptive power continues. As stated, Psalms was the original songbook of the Israelites. In a subtitle of Psalm 42 in my Bible, it states, for the director of music, a maskil of the sons of Korah. A maskil is a Hebrew musical term that means contemplation, and indicates that it was a song to teach. It's an instructive psalm and the music helps to remind us and the Israelites of what the lesson was. I was thinking about that. My children learned and memorized the order of the 66 books of the Bible with a song. They learned the capitals of the United States with a song to help them pass their tests, and they still remember those songs today. And as they were growing up, we used Seeds of Faith and Seeds of Courage from Seeds Kids Worship to memorize scripture with song. My children are both in their late 20s, and I can still belt out all of those verses that we memorize through song. Now, I cannot sing. I am not gifted in singing, so don't hear my singing, but hear the power of using song to help you to remember scripture and the lessons that God wants us to remember. As I said, I can still sing without having to look. Isaiah 41:10. It was a verse that really ministered to my family in a dark season. And it goes, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will strengthen you and help you." Isaiah 41:10. And I can just imagine the Israelites singing these songs while they were in exile, on the good days and the bad days, to be reminded that God is there to strengthen them, to help them, to hold them up with his righteous right hand. And another one that we sang all the time in our household was Psalm 34:10. And it goes, "The lions may grow weak and hungry. The lions may grow weak and hungry. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Another example that if you want to hide God's word in your heart and you're having a difficult time with that, why not do what God planned for the Israelites? Put some of these powerful messages in scripture to song or to rhythm or to beat. And once again, I know I cannot sing. I am not gifted in that area. So I hope you didn't hear my singing, but you heard the power of song to memorize and to hide things in our heart. And Psalm 42 is such an important lesson that the sons of Korah put it to music so the Israelites could hide it in their hearts, so that they wouldn't forget this lesson and this message during the deep trials and tests of life. So, after that lengthy introduction, what are the important lessons in Psalm 42 that the Lord wants us to remember even for today? As you know, I love visual aids. So verses 1 and 2 teach us, using a powerful visual aid that we can see as we read. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Think of a time when you have been extremely dehydrated and would do just about anything for a cup of water. When I am dehydrated, I feel like my eyeballs have dried out and I can't see clearly. I get a crushing headache and my blood pressure crashes. While serving in the Dominican Republic on mission trips, we actually set alarms on our cell phones for 9, 11, 1, 3, and 5. And we stop every 2 hours from whatever we are doing and drink an entire bottle of water. And we are not allowed to continue building or continue ministering or continue teaching until we have consumed that bottle of water, because it is very dangerous to become dehydrated. The sons of Korah are reminding us, and God is teaching us, that the same physical need for water is our spiritual need for the Lord. Our lives depend on it. Jesus bluntly declares in John 7:37, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." The sons of Korah say that our mind, our will, and our emotions, aka our souls, a person's, our essential self, that part of us that is eternal, our souls thirst for God, and not just any God, but the living God, the God who's alive, the God who will meet with you, the God who will communicate with you, the God who will console you, encourage you. He is our living God. If you need a reminder to come to the Lord, like we do in the Dominican Republic, to remember to drink our water, consider setting your cell phone alarm for a time each day to bring recall, to remind yourself of the Lord's presence, because this world is so distracting. And acknowledge his presence, because the answer to the psalmist's question is that you can meet with God at any time. If you need a suggestion for a time, why not 2:42 each afternoon to remember the second book of Psalms and Psalm 42. At that time, you can be reminded to acknowledge and to meet with God. We learn in verse 3 that this is a very dark and deep time in the psalmist's life, potentially a dark night of the soul. He shares that tears have been his food day and night, as people taunt him all day long. Can't you just hear them? Oh, where's your God? You talk about this high and mighty God. Well, where is he? In the psalm, it says, "Where is your God?" A note in my Life Application Bible states that the writer of this psalm was discouraged because he was exiled to a place far from Jerusalem and could not worship in the temple. Take note, the psalmist doesn't respond to the taunts, but instead goes to the Lord and remembers how the Lord blessed him when he used to lead processions to the temple with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. I write in my Bible a lot to help me remember of the different seasons and the blessings of God and answered prayers. And ironically, I wrote a note in my Bible next to these verses in Psalm 42 that this was like prior to COVID. Prior to COVID, we're going to church, shouts of joy, having a great time getting together. But then COVID shut everything down. We were, quote unquote, in exile, couldn't meet all together. So this is a great modern day example of exile in the United States. And so we see that the psalmist is distraught and depressed. And then he's transparent and shares that his soul is downcast and he is disturbed. But then it appears he says to himself, "Don't speak that over yourself. That's not the only option you have. Hope in and praise God." Did you ever have a disturbing or negative or unhelpful thought and you start to contemplate that and consider it? I sometimes will say to myself or others, change your thoughts, flip the flow, don't speak that over yourself. What would God say in this case? And another note in my Bible reads, because you can obviously see in this psalm that the psalmist is struggling with depression. He's distraught. And the note says, depression is one of the most common emotional ailments. One antidote, and there are many, please do not think I am minimizing depression. It's a very serious condition for some people. But my Life Application Bible reads, one antidote for depression is to meditate on the record of God's goodness to his people. This will take your mind off the present situation and give hope that it will improve. It will focus your thoughts on God's ability to help you rather than on your inability to help yourself. When you feel depressed, take advantage of this Psalm's antidepressant. Read the Bible's accounts of God's goodness and meditate on them. That is a very powerful suggestion from my Life Application Bible. And if you remember Pastor Harry's sermon on cognitive behavioral therapy and replacing negative and unhelpful thoughts with God's word, I know in our household that that has been very, very effective and helpful. And God has used his word that says it won't return void. It's sharper than a double-edged sword to help combat, once again, negative and unhelpful thoughts. In addition to looking for God's examples of faithfulness in biblical times, I would suggest that you keep a journal or note God's goodness in your own Bible so that you can be reminded. My Bible is almost like a scrapbook of God's goodness. I write down, like I said, answered prayers, things that I consider miracles in my family and in my life and with my friends, all sorts of things, so that as I'm reading it, like I read Psalm 42, I had written that note 5 years ago about COVID. And I was reminded of God's goodness and his presence and how he carried my family and me during that season. If he did it then, he can do it today. Also, in addition to keeping journals or writing in your Bibles, share testimonies of God's goodness with others so that you can remind them and they can remind you. Remember that time when, oof, I have so many examples, we could be here till midnight tonight. But the three that came to mind right away were in 2008 with the economic crash. That was a very difficult financial time that the Lord brought us through, that we still remember, celebrate, and recognize when we're struggling. Many of you know that my daughter Lydia had an anxiety disorder, and we talked many times how he delivered her. Our son Luke was born with some significant health issues, and he is and actually when I was pregnant with him, the doctors recommended terminating the pregnancy. They said that he had no vitality. My son is 6'3", the father of our beautiful granddaughter, married and doing well. We remember that. God has the final word, not the doctors, not the circumstances, but we recall God's goodness in all of these different things. And I could go on and on about the provision in the Dominican Republic, but I'll spare you this morning and we'll get back to God's word so that you can recall God's goodness in your life and the lives of others. And why do we need to remember this? Well, because we need it and we will need it. That's just life. We see that only one verse later, in verse 7, the depression is back for the psalmist. The Believer's Commentary explains, the depression recurs in cycles, but faith strikes back with the confident assertion that it will remember God from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Hilmazar. Perhaps these three places symbolize three spiritual experiences we do not know. What does seem clear is that they represent the land of exile, far removed from the house of God in Jerusalem. And the thought seems to be that even when we cannot visit the house of God, we can still remember the God of the house. Let me say that again. I thought that was really powerful. And the thought seems to be that even when we cannot visit the house of God, when we're in exile, whatever type of exile you might be in, we can still remember the God of the house. So verse 7 is so profound, and no pun intended. It reads, deep calls to deep, In the roar of your waterfalls, all the waves and breakers have swept over me. Where is your deep? The God of the house is still there, even though you might not be in the house and you feel like you're in exile. AI summarizes several commentaries on this verse. It says, deep calls to deep uses powerful imagery of roaring waterfalls and crashing waves to describe the psalmist's overwhelming troubles and desperate need for God, suggesting that the abundance of one's own despair resonates with the immeasurable depths of God's power, mercy, and ability to bring solace and deliverance, even in the most overwhelming circumstances. It is a cry of the soul's deepest need, reaching out to the unfathomable depths of God's compassionate response. Who is deeper and more powerful, or what is deeper and more powerful? Your season of exile or your problems, or our Lord and Savior? GotQuestions.com, a resource that I really refer to a lot, shares. The Hebrew word translated here as deep refers to the deepest depths of the sea. The sons of Korah, exiled with David, had lost all footing, and they felt as if recurring waves of trouble had plunged their souls into a bottomless ocean of sorrow and despair. The prophet Jonah used similar language to describe his predicament after God's discipline in his life. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And finally, because this verse was so profound, I also looked in the Believer's Commentary, and they asserted, our spiritual instincts tell us that in a very special way, we are at Calvary, hearing the cries of the Lord Jesus as the waves and billows of God's judgment rolled over him. The cataracts of divine wrath cascaded down on him with resounding thunder as he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Whoa, that's a lot of deep stuff. You've got to really seek the Lord and pray about it and find out what he is saying specifically to you regarding this. And I love how verse 7 is followed by verse 8, where it speaks of the Lord's great love for us, both day and night. If we go back to verse 3, let me grab that. The psalmist says, my tears have been my food day and night. Now the Lord is saying in this verse 8, let me find that. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Then after that encouraging verse, we see Saul back to the trial, to despair, to doubting, to taunting of the enemy, to depression. Yet faith always has the final word. And the final conclusion of this psalm is, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior. He's our rescue plan and my God. So I have, you know, I always like to use a visual aid, and I have this water bottle here, and it has a reminder on it because sometimes I get so busy during the day, I forget to drink my water. And it says here at 8 a.m., get started, 9 a.m., drink up, 10 a.m., keep going, 11 a.m., don't give up, 12 p.m., almost there, 1 p.m., you did it, refill. We have to constantly, just like we need to drink water, we need to drink up the Lord's presence and I don't know, his ability to minister to us in whatever season we're in. One thing that I wanted to say about my visual aid, it ends up here saying, you did it. I have to acknowledge that I cannot do anything in this regard without the Lord. I need to humble myself and allow him to speak to me, allow him to take over. And I had mentioned that you might want to consider setting an alarm clock or having something like a timed water bottle to remind you as you get distracted. So many of you know that my cell phone is set for 3:20 every single day for 10 years. And every day at 3:20, I'm like, whoa, I've been so busy. I gotta refocus. And today I at 3:20, I'm going to not only remind myself of, or ask the Holy Spirit to remind me, once again, it's not me, it's his word, to remind myself of Ephesians 3:20, that beautiful promise, and these lessons taught in Psalm 42. Let me summarize them. These are the lessons that I saw in this that the Lord wants us to remember and to think about. My soul needs and thirsts for the Lord, both during the day and night. I can meet with him at any time. I need to remind myself through the Holy Spirit and his word of days of victory during difficult times, and to get my community, my church family, my friends to remind me as well. That's why I'm in two connect groups. At 3:20, I'm going to be reminded to put my hope in God and not other solutions. At 3:20, I'm going to be reminded to praise him and that he is my savior and God. At 3:20, I'm going to be reminded that deep calls to deep, and the Lord is deeper, more powerful, more profound than any trial or suffering I might be experiencing. And finally, at 3:20, I will be reminded that he directs his love towards me, sings over me, and prays for me. Family, that was a lot. And I apologize if it was too much, but that's what the Lord spoke to me as I was reading and researching and contemplating and praying about this psalm. And my prayer is that each and every one of us would continue to chew on this powerful message today and allow the Lord to minister to us in whatever way he sees fit and what he believes is our need. So let's close out in a word of prayer and let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus is a living word and that Jesus lived out Psalm 42 for our benefit. Thank you that we can go to you day or night. Thank you that you love us day and night, that you sing over us day and night, that you pray for us day and night. Lord, please fill us up with these encouraging words and let us focus on you, magnify you, and not the difficult trials and sufferings that we're going through today. Lord, you're going to redeem it all. We're not making light of anyone's trials or sufferings. We're just seeking you in the midst of them. So Lord, please bless and anoint each person on this call. Fill them up with you and remind them of all of your beautiful attributes and characteristics. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so. And we pray all of these things in your powerful name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed day.